your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Pacific Watch is Jeff Bliss. We go immediately to the drought threat, and the drought threat is Lake Mead. Jeff, a very good evening to you. I've now seen a larger photograph of Lake Mead. The decline in water is shocking. What I understand is no one's ever imagined this was possible. The last time we were talking about an intake valve exposed as the water declined, and we were talking about how many feet down, but Lake Mead is a vast area that is used for recreation as well as for Hoover Dam and for downstream water. At this point, is there any understanding of what can be done? Good evening to you, Jeff.
Good evening, John. Right now, the only thing they're able to come up with, because they're not able to make rain, really, is to release less water from a Colorado reservoir that they have, Colorado River Reservoir. But that's just, you know, trying to keep the lakes from falling any more than they already are. Everybody knows it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when, because, you know, there's no significant rain in the forecast. The summer is about upon us, and it's going to be very warm. So you're going to see it continue to drop and drop. It's not just because of the temperature. It's because of the electricity usage. It's because of the water usage. All of these things are going to be impacted by what's happening on the Colorado River right now. It's a bad situation that's about to get a lot worse.
A discovery in Lake Mead, a barrel. What do we know, Jeff?
What we now know was that in this barrel that was at the shoreline as the water has receded was a body. And apparently it's connected to a murder several decades ago. They haven't released the name of the person yet because they're still conducting some of the examination. The coroner is, the DNA scientists are. They're pretty sure they know who it is. But here's the other part of that is they know as the lake continues to recede, they're expecting to find many more of these. Remember, this is not very far of a drive from Las Vegas. And we all know the stories about what goes on in Las Vegas. And we know that there's no ocean to dump bodies in. Nobody gets fitted with cement shoes, as they used to say, and thrown into a nearby ocean. So this is the biggest body of water. It used to be so deep that people thought it would never reveal its secrets. And yet it's beginning to.
Other secrets at Lake Mead, and I understand this is a national park or a national recreation area, and there are forbidden searches for paraphernalia, for things. They were especially unhappy about metal detectors. What is prevented, Jeff?
Well, you're not allowed to take anything with you, and they feel like if you're using these types of devices and you have various implements, tools, what have you, that you're going to be taking things that actually belong to this national park. You're not allowed to take anything out of a national park except memories and footprints, as they leave footprints and take your trash with you. They don't want people to take these items, whether they are bodies in a barrel or jewelry or what have you that they find, because that is the property of the federal government because it's a national park. But they're also worried about other things. There may be some toxic materials in there, things that could cause injuries, or you could disturb a crime scene. So there's a whole host of reasons why they don't want you to do it, but they're very firm. Don't come down here with metal detectors and expect you're going to find somebody's gold bar they threw out a boat window or something. What's here remains here.
Now we go to California's summer. Is there any new indication of whether you're going to get rain or whether you're going to experience the same drought that the rest of the West is suffering?
We're definitely going to experience the same drought we already are. Parts of Northern California, Central California are being hit a lot worse than we are, but in Southern California. But we're expecting it. We're having all the water agencies are getting together, coming up with formulas in terms of rationing and rules and, you know, fines that they'll apply if people break the rules. We know it's coming. We're going to probably come out of the gate starting with just 30% right away. But some people imagine that eventually if this drought rolls on and on, you could see people, you know, being rationed 50 or 60%, which would be a breathtaking amount. You know, when you get down to 30% ration, you're talking about going from, I guess, about 120 gallons a day per person to 80 gallons or so a day per person. But could you imagine if that was down to, 40 or 50 gallons? You know, we're talking about water for drinking, for potable use, for bathing, for washing your dishes, your laundry, you name it. It's going to change life here in California quite a bit.
Water also takes us to the Death Valley National Park, where there's a good story. The Devil's Hole pupfish, which was extinct or thought to be extinct. The world's rarest, most inbred fish clings to existence in the smallest geographic range of any vertebrate. The shallow end of an oxygen-deprived pool, 10 feet wide, 70 feet long, and more than 500 feet deep. This is wonderful, Jeff. There are 475 of them, and they prospered. They look like blue goldfish.
These beautiful little fish. They're one of the few vertebrate fish that live in any type of environment like this. There are places where you can go in the ocean where you can find animals that live around volcanic vents and such, but it's hard to imagine that in a place like Death Valley, where it gets to be over 120 or so in the summers, and there's very little vegetation, that an animal could survive like this. And yet they do, and they can thrive as long as man leaves them alone.
Now to another wonderful positive story. See, it's not all drought and famine. This is the California condor, which I can't be sure, Jeff, but I thought it was extinct. What's happened?
It came very close to extinction. I mean, they survived by a hair breadth. And through a very aggressive breeding and sanctuary program, they're able to raise enough to bring them back into this now situation where they're not on the edge of extinction. They're still somewhat endangered. They have to be watched. They can't hunt them. And they're very careful about poisons such as like rat poison or rodent poisons that are used in their areas. But they are coming back. These birds are huge. They're the largest birds, I believe, in the air anywhere. They're just massive. They're very ugly. They look like a turkey vulture on steroids. But they are an important part of California's history, not just to, the historical record, but, in terms of animals and such, but also in terms of the Native Americans here in California, very important bird. So, for example, the Yurok tribe, which is up in Northern California, this comes as a very welcome change.
We go to, naturally, the concern about wildfires in Northern California. We're expecting more this summer. I don't know the scale, Jeff. Didn't a whole lot of the tinder burn last year so that the fires won't be so big?
In certain areas, yes, it did. I mean, we had fires that approached a million acres, several that were above 200,000, so which are massive, massive conflagrations. But you have other parts of California, actually the majority of California, that did not burn. And that's still facing a problem with, tinder and brush that has been there for 50, 60 years or more. And when it gets hit by a spark and in the right conditions, boom, we're off to the races.
All right, it's time for you to put on your engineer's hat. Engineer Bliss, a veteran of Disneyland, is now going to help us understand one more time the high-speed rail, the bullet train. The governor is weighing in or not? Does the governor believes in this project? Is that correct?
He does. I would have to say that he's kind of been dragged into it. There are key funders for the Democratic Party and constituencies, unions, that feel this is very important to them for obvious reasons, big money reasons. So he's been kind of dragged into it. He realizes that this is a project that wasn't going to really work the way it was proposed or the way it was sold to voters over the years. But he's been dragged along. And so, he's been pushing parts of it. And then you have people in the legislature who are representing different areas and different constituencies that are pushing different parts. So it's really a good old political tug of war. It doesn't mean that it's dead yet, not even close. It doesn't mean that it's breathing with, great new life. It's still kind of just chugging along, so to speak.
Checking on your gas prices. There's a rebate program, or is there? I thought it was something like $400 per taxpayer.
That was the idea. Some people in the legislature had proposed having a freeze on taxes at the pump. Those were the Republicans. They said, this will help immediately. But the Democrats said, no, we want to give everybody a $400 check. In other words, they're kind of following the same thing that happened during the pandemic where you pay everybody off. They feel good about it and hopefully they'll vote for you. But there's been a lot of tossing and turning and wrestling over it.
It hasn't happened yet. Don't spend your check yet. Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Mackey.